we have one of the 24-hour news channels here on in our studio, and they're reporting on the bitter cold that's been experienced here in Gauteng and yeah in Cape Town, and one of the strap headlines says cold front, fat cakes and beanies help alleviate the biting cold. Why not just say fat cook or magwenya, Barbara? That's what. No one says fat cakes. We say either call it magwenya or we call it fat cook.
Eat cakes and beanies.
Fat cakes.
No, no, but must you eat the beanies too? Sorry, I'm just looking at the strap. Les and I come from a TV background, and so we kind of feel like we can criticize.
You can just say fat cook, or you can say magwenya, because that's what South Africa calls it. We do not call it fat cakes, but nevertheless.
Fat cakes and beanies, it sounds like a dish.
It does sound like a dish. But every morning, Barbara Friedman is in studio with us to talk about what's trending online. She also curates our website, www.capetalk.co.za, where a lot of the things that we discuss gets transferred to lovely articles for you to like and share online. But what's coming up in Bob's Wire today, Barbara?
Yeah, so I'm focusing on what I think some Cape Talk listeners know is a passion of mine, and that is the state of the Cape Chakma baboons on our Cape Peninsula. So we followed Cape Talk last year. We followed Kataza's journey. We reported earlier this year on Philemon, a baboon from the Smits troop who was killed by the authorities for what they claim was his raiding behavior. And now we have another important baboon from the Waterfall troop in Simonstown, Bolo, being killed earlier this week. And I just wanted, I've posted this on the Cape Talk website, and I urge people to go and read the letter by independent vet. She works with domestic animals, but she also has for many years worked with wildlife animals, helping porcupines, helping baboons, helping snakes, whatever is required. Gina Duplessis has been there, and she assisted the Cape of Good Hope SPCA over the past few weeks to try and bring Bolo back to health. And the backstory here is that Bolo was observed on Friday the 9th of July in the Simonstown dockyard, struggling to navigate. A very, very sad video showed him struggling to orientate himself. It seemed he had problems with his eyesight. NCC, which is the wildlife management company who has the contract to manage baboons in the Cape, took him into their van. They ushered him in. He couldn't see. He was eventually taken to the SPCA, where Gina stepped in to help, and they treated him. Mm. His one eye, they say, was damaged, and he was blinded. And this seems to be something that has happened over years. There's a cataract that has formed. It seems like it was some kind of damage over the years. But his other eye, more recently damaged, they didn't know if they could cure him. They put a lot of effort into it, and they did. The SPCA then declared that he was fit for medical release back to his troop, but Cape Nature had to make the final decision, and they've decided in terms of their baboon management protocols that he should rather be killed, and he has been. She has gone and written a really strong letter about it.
Killed or euthanized?
Well, I call it killed, because euthanasia is when you take a very ill animal or even person and you put them down. I know it's a word that's used, and I will not use euthanasia, because Bolo was declared fit for medical release. That there's a difference. If you don't like his behavior, which is what they don't like, if they don't like the fact that they claim he has raided multiple houses and that he's done this, that and the other, that is not euthanasia. Not in my view, because if you look up the definition of euthanasia, it is to put an animal out of their suffering. Was he suffering? He was given a clean bill of health. Yes, he was a bit thin. There were issues, but that troop struggles, you know, it struggles to survive.
My issue, Barbara, with talking about baboons, and we know that the impact of the urban fringe, particularly in the southern suburbs, and there is the eternal, not eternal, but since the urban fringe has gone deeper into protected environmental areas, that these things will overlap. But are we making an environmental or a conservation emotional decision over Over the conflict that humans and animals will have when the urban goes up.
But don't you think that framing it with the word conflict is actually part of the issue? Why can't this be more of a symbiotic relationship? Why can't humans be forced to take responsibility for living side by side with wildlife, i.e. put your waste into proper baboon-proof bins? Have some respect for their life and baboon-proof your house in a way that means that they will not come and find attractants and come into your house and then be put onto a so-called raiding list, which means that they will then be killed. Humans take no responsibility for their role in this, and that is my issue. And there are academics who write about human-wildlife conflict on the urban fringe. My question is, why does it have to be framed as conflict? Because that already puts a narrative in play. That means humans think that they are the apex species and they can do whatever they like. And I just want to finish by saying, Gina Duplessis says in her letter, even if you did agree with their BTT protocols and all the things that you might be raising, why would you keep the baboon in the SPCA holding facilities getting treatment for 9 days if you were going to kill him anyway? Because that is actually unnecessarily cruel.
Barbara Friedman. Every day with Bob's Why. She's not with us tomorrow because we have Dr. Chris Smith, the Naked Scientist, but back with us on Monday here on The Morning Review.